Scripture likens our spiritual walk and the things that we need when we notice we have lack from the Old Testament to the New Testament. It likens it to our physical need for food and water. It talks about thirsting after God. It talks about hungering for God and tasting of God, for He is good. Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount said, "Blessed are those who are hungry and thirsty for righteousness, for they shall be filled." Jesus, during one of the great festivals, stood up and said, "Whoever is thirsty, come to me and drink, and I will give you water. I will fill you." And then John says that Jesus was referring to the Holy Spirit. Jesus said that, as the scriptures say, rivers of living water will flow from your innermost being. I think we've all felt lack before, haven't we? Lack of finances, lack of health, lack of food, and lack of water. Particularly when you see somebody eating or drinking and you're hungry or thirsty, that's when you sense your lack even more. What I want to talk about this morning is the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We're continuing our series through the book of Acts called Acts of the Sent Ones. And from the very beginning, the Holy Spirit is ushered in. Jesus, as He was crucified and rose again, before He ascended to the Father, gave a promise. In fact, He gave a command, which we're going to be looking at in a moment. He said to tarry in Jerusalem, or wait in Jerusalem, until you're endued with power from on high, that I am sending the Helper, the Comforter, the Holy Spirit for you. And He said also to His disciples, it is to your advantage that I go away. Even though He was walking next to them, they could speak to Him, they could look at Him eye to eye. He said, it's to your advantage that I go away, for I will send the Holy Spirit. Most of us have a lack of the dominance, I'll use that word, of the active presence of God through the Holy Spirit in our lives. Every one of us. Because it's not just because you've been baptized in the Holy Spirit before, or been saved before, or had an experience in a church before, or had an experience in a home before. That was before. This is now. We all lack. We all have a lack. We all have a thirst. My prayer today, by the way, I'm going to be speaking a short message. You know what that means when a preacher says that, right? Absolutely nothing. But I'm going to attempt, let me put it that way, I'm going to attempt to teach a short message for the simple reason is I want us to pray. We lack because we're not actually asking Him for the Holy Spirit. Remember, Jesus said when He stood up, if you are thirsty, come to me and drink. So we're going to talk about it, though, at the same time. I want us to realize some reasons why we lack. And when I say we, it includes me. And that rhymes. Purpose. Most of the time, we lack the infilling of the Holy Spirit. In the book of Acts, which we've been going through now for 2 years, three different terms are used for the Holy Spirit being active in a believer's life. The first one is the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and baptism comes from the Greek word baptizo, which means to fully envelop one substance into another. And we know the act of water baptism, actually we're going to get to witness a water baptism at the conclusion of the service, is to go under the water and you die to your old self and you come back out of the water clean. You also come back out of the water wet because you have been enveloped in that substance. And hopefully the heater is working so it won't be a cold wet. Likewise, the Holy Spirit is referred to when it comes upon a believer as the baptism of the Holy Spirit. The second term is coming upon, or the Spirit fell, those terms. And then the third term would be filled with the Holy Spirit. It's my estimation, my opinion, that those terms are used interchangeably within the book of Acts. So that's what we're referring to. And a lot of the reasons we lack is because we have forgotten the purpose of the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the infilling of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit coming upon us, full and overflowing. I would be remiss to go any further without saying this, that when you are saved, when you ask Jesus Christ into your heart, into your life, you receive all of the Holy Spirit. because He is the Godhead. He is the Trinity. You receive all of the Father, all of the Son, and all of the Holy Spirit. But the baptism or coming upon or filling of the Holy Spirit is additional, and we're going to talk about that. But the purpose is found in the very first part of Acts, chapter 1, verses 4 through 5, and I also want to read verse 8. He gave them this command, "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised." He had just finished giving the Great Commission. Go into all the world and preach the gospel. Make disciples of every nation. Baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. He just finished saying that to the disciples, and then he says, but wait. I like to look at this as Jesus saying, wait, I'm telling you to do this, but don't you dare go represent me without my power. Don't you dare go represent me without my anointing. But wait for the gift my Father promised, the Holy Spirit, which you have heard me speak about. For John, the baptizer, baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. But you will receive power. That Greek word for power is dunamis, which means miraculous power, thrust. It means to be able. Normally we look at how am I supposed to go into all the world? How am I able? Kim did a great job of talking about that as missionaries. We tend to think of them as faith giants, but they struggle like we do. How are they able to do that? Through the Holy Spirit and only because of the Holy Spirit. Making us able. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses. We struggle with lack of the Holy Spirit's active power in our life because we often forget about the purpose. The purpose isn't to make us feel good, isn't to give us warm and fuzzies, isn't to give us even spiritual gifts that we can minister among one another, as important as that is. It's to be His witnesses. That's the main reason, that's the main thrust. You will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. We also realize that we lack because it's just become an enshrined doctrine. Guys, it's really, really easy for this church, the church at Whistling Pines, for it to just be a doctrine. Just something we believe, something we espouse, something that we teach. All the time when people ask, what kind of church is this? I'll tell them it's a non-denominational church. We believe in the active presence of the Holy Spirit, in the continuation of the gifts, all of those things. And then if they've come from a Pentecostal church before, I'll say, we're basically a Pentecostal church with a seatbelt. But because of that seatbelt, we can quickly, it just becomes something we say we believe. Because we don't actually see it happening. So that's the check that this individual church, and each church has its own conflicts and its own things that it has to check. This is one of them for us. We don't want wildfire, but we want Holy Spirit fire. And sometimes it's hard to divide the two. We also realize we lack, because we often relegate the expression of the gifts primarily to the manifestation within the services that we have on Sunday morning. I grew up in a church, and I'm very glad I did, where the gifts were manifest every single Sunday. People were speaking in tongues. People were praying for healing. You actually saw people being healed, people throwing down canes, things like that. And that's great, and it should show up in our church services, but that's not the primary reason for them. And oftentimes, we're lacking because it's not Monday through Saturday. It's only Sunday that we think the Holy Spirit and His gifts are active in a believer's life. And therefore, we lack. Therefore, we thirst. Therefore, we hunger after more for God. Listen, I would love for the manifestation of the Holy Spirit to be in this service this morning. I trust and believe that it is in your hearts and in your minds. But I would much more like to see the manifestation of His gifts out in the marketplace, out where you're working, out with your coworkers and your family, in your homes, in our life groups. That's not to say it's not important in the service. We lack because we make it happen ourselves, and it never produces spiritual results. We're going to, in just a few moments, learn about the seven sons of Sceva. Try saying that three times fast, if you will. And we're going to learn that they tried to do it in their own power, and there was no spiritual results. In fact, there was negative results. We're going to get to that. But sometimes we think, I was baptized in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit came upon me, however you want to look at it, in 1982, and it was great, so therefore I'm baptized in the Holy Spirit, and we have not entered into His holy presence since then. And many of us are guilty of that. And so we'll just say, well, I'll do what I did back then, but there's no spiritual result. We may think there is, but there actually isn't. Similar to Samson, when he lost his power, do you remember what Scripture says? It says, the Holy Spirit departed him and he did not know it. It is a continual need. It is not just an event. I think this is where most of us experience lack, myself included. It's a continual need. We need it all the time. We need to be refilled. In the book of Acts, as we've been going through it, we're about to read the sixth occurrence, the sixth and last occurrence that we see of somebody either being baptized in the Holy Spirit, being filled with the Holy Spirit, or the Holy Spirit coming upon them, or a group of people. It's chronicled six different times. Within those six different times, sometimes it was the same group. Why? Because they needed it. They needed to be refilled, just as we do. Last I want to say about this before we read the text. Boom, got nothing. There it is. It appears to be normative experience in the New Testament. It's not unusual. It's normal. It's normal that we should be looking and active for the Holy Spirit in our lives. It's normal. We see it normal in the book of Acts. If you will, turn in your books, in your Bibles, to Acts chapter 19. Chapter 19, we're going to begin with verse 1. While Apollos was at Corinth, Paul took the road through the interior and arrived at Ephesus. There he found some disciples and asked them, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?" It can actually be translated "after you believed" or "since you believed." The Greek kind of bears out in that way. So what Paul is asking them is, you're a believer, you're a disciple of Christ, have you received the Holy Spirit since you believed? So one of the things that we need to understand is that the baptism in the Holy Spirit is significant additional power for life and ministry given by God subsequent to salvation. Subsequent. Remember, we receive all of the Holy Spirit, but the baptism of the Holy Spirit is when He pours out His Spirit full and overflowing after you're saved. I've seen so many people, and maybe you have too, that have actually been saved, and then they experience this filling of the Holy Spirit immediately after. That's awesome. Many times it's many years after that a believer will receive that. But it's subsequent to it. It's a special second filling of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And that's something that we need to continue to pursue and look after. Just curious, how many people really do feel hungry and thirsty for more of God? How many people, raising your hands, keep them raised, or so basically keep them raised if this is you, lower them if this isn't you. By saying that, you're also scared of what that might look like. Here's why. Just as somebody wants to be married, but yet particularly on their wedding day, they're scared to death. Why? Is it that they don't want it? No, it's they're afraid of the unknown. They're afraid of what is it going to look like to be strapped to this person all my life. I was actually speaking for Miranda, not about Miranda. But notice, everybody was, so you're not alone, okay? So he asks them, have you received the Holy Spirit since you believed? They answered, no, we have not even heard that there is a Holy Spirit. I love this. They are honest, completely honest. If you were to ask me something that I didn't know, I would be tempted, and I'm just being honest with you, I would be tempted to say, yeah, of course, even though I don't know what they're even talking about. And so I want to say this morning, be honest about where you are. If you've never even heard of the baptism of the Holy Spirit, that's totally cool. Just be honest about it. If you don't know some of the things about God, be honest about it, because he's going to meet you where you are. Verse 3, so Paul asked, then what baptism did you receive? John's baptism, they replied. Paul said John's baptism was a baptism of repentance. He told the people to believe in the one coming after him, that is, in Jesus. On hearing this, they were baptized into the name of the Lord Jesus. When Paul placed his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came on them, and they spoke in tongues and prophesied. There were about 12 men in all. They lacked something that was available to them. This is where we have to understand it. We have to be truthful. Are we lacking? And then we have to understand it's available. It's available. It's there for the asking. Serious talk. It's available. I'm trying to think of another way to stress this. Hey, did you hear it's available? We need to understand that God isn't holding out because he's playing games with us. It is truly available. Maybe sometimes our understanding or our expectation is out of whack. Maybe he pours out his Spirit upon our lives in a way that we weren't expecting, but it doesn't mean that it's not available. Verse 8. Paul entered the synagogue and spoke boldly there for 3 months, arguing persuasively about the kingdom of God. But some of them became obstinate. They refused to believe and publicly maligned the way. So Paul left them. He took the disciples with him and had discussions daily in the lecture hall of Tyrannus. And I don't believe his last name was Rex. Verse 10, This went on for 2 years, so that all the Jews and Greeks who lived in the province of Asia heard the word of the Lord. God did extraordinary miracles through Paul, so that even handkerchiefs and aprons that had touched him were taken to the sick, and their illnesses were cured, and the evil spirits left them. It wasn't just a one-time experience. This went on for years. If we seek the experience, that may be all we get. Just as if you do something to seek the applause, that may be the only gift you get. We seek it only to get that momentary, cool, awesome feeling, and people look at us maybe like a spiritual giant, then we have received our reward in full. There's nothing more. We need to search and hunger and thirst after more of the Holy Spirit so that it affects our life, so that daily we're doing these things just as Paul did. Verse 13. Now this is the story of the seven sons of Sceva. Some Jews went around driving out evil spirits, tried to invoke the name of the Lord Jesus over those who were demon-possessed. They would say, in the name of Jesus whom Paul preaches, I command you to come out. Seven sons of Sceva, a Jewish chief priest, were doing this. One day the evil spirit answered them, Jesus I know, and I know about Paul, but who the heck are you? I added heck. Could you imagine? Now, the seven sons of Sceva kind of get a bad rap, and probably, well, they should. But I think they were really after the real thing, or at least wanted that. They wanted the results anyway. They wanted to be able to do that. We don't know where their heart was. We don't know where their motives were. Maybe they were wanting to do it so that they looked like big shots. I don't know. All I do know is this. They did not really have the relationship with the Holy Spirit. Paul did. Paul was able to do that because the Holy Spirit empowered him. Not because Paul was more special than me and you. Not that Paul was more special than the seven sons of Sceva were. It was because he was allowing the Holy Spirit to actively influence and empower his life. So the seven sons of Sceva look at this and say, it's a formula. If I do this, if I say that, if I pray this, if I pray that, then I'll get the same results. Let's try it. I cast you out in the name of Jesus, whom Paul preaches. Let's see how it worked out for him. Verse 16, remember they said, we know Jesus. Paul we've heard of. He's starting to have a reputation among the demons that he's doing some serious kingdom work. We kind of have heard his name. Jesus, we shudder. We get him. But who are you? Verse 16, then the man who had the evil spirit jumped on them and overpowered them all. One man on seven. He gave them such a beating that they ran out of the house naked and bleeding. I know you guys. When you leave here, that's all you're going to remember. Ephesians 5:18 says, do not be drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. In the present tense of the verb in the Greek, it means continue to be filled. And that's a command. We should be filled with the Holy Spirit. Instead of alcohol, something else that would influence us, we should be filled with the Holy Spirit that influences us. And it should be a continual thing that's happening, not just a one-time event. We just learned from the seven sons of Sceva that it's not learned behavior. It's not just an incantation, something that you learn from somebody and then you'll get the same results. How many people are reading through the Bible in the year? Okay, we're in Leviticus now. For those of you who are new, you might be thinking, wow, if they started in January, they must be reading like a verse a day. We started in June, actually. We're in Leviticus, and as I was reading Leviticus chapter 9, the last verse of 9 and the first verse of 10, this really stuck out to me. Verse 24 of Leviticus 9, fire came out from the presence of the Lord. Just want to sit there for a minute. John the Baptist, when he baptized, said, I baptize you for repentance, but one greater than I is coming who will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. Throughout the Old Testament and New Testament, fire has always been a symbol of the Holy Spirit. Even here in Leviticus, that is sometimes slow going as you're reading, when they're talking about fire in the temple and the things that they have to do for special sacrifices and things, the fire still represents the Holy Spirit. Fire came out from the presence of the Lord and consumed the burnt offering and the fat portions on the altar. And when all the people saw it, they shouted for joy and fell face down. Aaron's sons, Nadab and Abihu, took their censers, put fire in them, and added incense. Listen to what it says, though. They offered unauthorized, some translations say common or strange, fire before the Lord, contrary to his command. We're not real sure what was unauthorized and what was common about it and what was strange about it. But what it's believed is that they did not take the fire that came from the presence of God, but fire that they themselves started in religious duty in some of the other offerings, maybe under a pot or a kettle. They took that fire instead. Sometimes we do the same thing in our Christian walk. We do the same thing as we're ministering for the kingdom of God. We'll just take any fire. The fire maybe we had last year. Maybe the fire we heard somebody else say or somebody else do. We'll take that fire. And we offer it before the Lord, and it did not come from the presence of the Lord. It's strange. It's common. It's unauthorized. And it's ineffective. We should strive to go before the presence of the Lord and obtain that fire, and that fire only. We put that fire in our scepter, in our incense. We put that in our prayers. We put that fire in our service to one another. Not in order to be right before God do we serve others. We do that because the fire of God is within us and He compels us to serve others. Verse 17. When this became known to the Jews and Greeks living in Ephesus, they were all seized with fear, and the name of the Lord Jesus was held in high honor. Many of those who believed now came and openly confessed their evil deeds. A number who had practiced sorcery brought their scrolls together and burned them publicly. When they calculated the value of the scrolls, the total came to 50,000 drachmas. It's a lot of money, evidently. In this way, the word of the Lord spread widely and grew in power. The proof is in the pudding. Have you heard that cliche or that term before? It means there's evidence there. There's evidence. These people, including Paul, were baptized in the Holy Spirit, empowered by the Holy Spirit to be His witnesses throughout the world, to have that dunamis power, that miracle-working ability. And the proof was people were repenting. People were burning things that were against God. People were coming together and honoring God and getting rid of the things that did not honor God. I want to ask us this morning, if we feel like the Holy Spirit is in our lives, are we honoring God with the choices that we make, with the things that we do, with the things that we think? If you're like me, I realize there's still lack. And I need more. And I hope I'm to the point where I want more. The often quoted incorrect version. Did you realize that the proof is in the pudding is incorrect? The real term is this. The proof of the pudding is in the eating. How many people knew that? I didn't know that. Proof is in the pudding popped into my head, and I looked it up. Where did that even come from? The proof of the pudding is in the eating. Let's relate this back to the Holy Spirit. The proof of the Holy Spirit active in your life, filling you, empowering you, emboldening you, and I, the proof is in the eating. We don't really know it's pudding until we eat it. We don't really know it's the Spirit until we consume the Spirit. I want to challenge us this morning to consume the Holy Spirit. Let's stop talking about it. Let's stop just teaching about it. Let's stop saying it's one of our doctrines. It certainly is. We realize there's a Godhead, three in one, and the Holy Spirit is one of them. We understand that something miraculous happened throughout the book of Acts. Maybe that was just for then. No, it's for now too. We need to partake. Blessed is he who hungers and thirsts after righteousness, for he shall be filled. If you're thirsty, come to me and drink. And as the scriptures say, rivers of living water will flow from your innermost being. Speaking about the Holy Spirit. I want to ask you, do you want that? I'd like to ask for the worship team to come back up, please. So everybody earlier raised their hand and said that they realize there's lack and that they want more of the Holy Spirit. And then I said, does it kind of make you nervous? Does it kind of make you like, whoa, what does it look like? What are they going to make me do? What is the Holy Spirit going to make me do? Can you say, I want that? I want more of God in my life. I'm messing things up just under my own power. I continue to offer before God unauthorized common fire. I want the real stuff. I want the real fire that comes from the presence of God. That is what needs to be in my scepter, in my incense, in my prayers. I want more of God. When you're hungry, you want to eat it yourself, right? You're not satisfied with just watching a cooking show when you're hungry. It does not satisfy. When you're hungry, you do not want to watch somebody eating McDonald's or watch them eating a candy bar or watch them eating something healthy even. You do not want to see that. You want to be partaking in it. Here's what I want you to do. If you're hungry for more, if you want more from God, I want you to just step this way and just line the front. I want to pray over you. If you want more of God, come on. If you want fire that comes from the presence of God, I want to pray over you guys. And before that, I want to read a scripture over you guys. The scripture I want to read is in Luke chapter 11, beginning with verse 9. It's Jesus speaking. Jesus says, "So I say to you," and as I read this, this is Jesus speaking just to you right now. Whatever you need to do to concentrate, if you need to close your eyes, if you want to lift your hands, if you want to kneel down, if you want to just stay how you are now, that's great. Whatever you can do to really listen as if Jesus himself is speaking to you, because he is. It says, "So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives." Everyone who asks receives. "He who seeks finds." Everyone who seeks finds. "And to him who knocks, the door will be open." Anyone who knocks, he will open the door. "Which of you fathers, if your son asked for a fish, will give him a snake instead?" Obvious answer is no one. I don't know how your father was to you. Some of us had great fathers, some of us didn't. But even at your father's worst, if you asked for a fish, he would not give you a snake. Or if he asked for an egg, would give him a scorpion. If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Some of you had a lot of apprehension just to walk up here. What kind of crazy church is this? I've been coming for a while. They haven't asked me to do this before. What if the Holy Spirit has me doing something wild and crazy? It doesn't work like that. The Bible says the spirit of the prophet is subject to the prophet. He does not just overtake you against your will. He just does not do that. This church does not teach that. Something else too. If you're asking him for more of your presence, for fire from his holy presence, he's not going to give you something counterfeit. He's not going to give something to you that's going to harm you, going to embarrass you. If you're up here, I believe it's because you're genuine. By the way, I'm up here as well. We're genuine. We just want more of God. Whatever that looks like, whatever that sounds like, we want more of God. We want more of his presence in our lives. We want his holy fire to consume the sin in our lives and to empower us to go out for him. If that's your prayer, say amen. I want to pray over you. And I just want to remind you that there's nothing special about this area of the auditorium more than any other. But there's something about stepping out of your seat, stepping out of your comfort zone, stepping out of where you were. There's also nothing special about me and praying over you other than I just really, really want to. And God takes the prayers of somebody who really, really wants to. And he and he does something special with them. I really, really want us to be filled with the Holy Spirit, full and overflowing, that spills out upon our community. Will you pray with me? Father God, I just pray for this group of people, Lord. Lord, I pray for myself. God, we thank you that we see disciples in Ephesus honest, saying, I didn't even know about this. God, there's some that have stepped up here and didn't even know about this. There's some, Lord, who've experienced it in the past. There's some up here maybe that feel like they're even experts. Maybe they've been haughty before you. God, I pray that where we are, you would meet us with your holy fire. God, that you would pour your Holy Spirit upon us as a church, and upon us as individuals. God, that everything else in our minds would fade away. Lord, we wouldn't be thinking about what other people are thinking. We wouldn't be thinking about what's going to happen later on today or what we're having for lunch, Lord, but that we're just hungry for you. We want more of you. Lord, that we would be just like the people in that video clip, Lord. We'd be getting in front of your sprinkler. Lord, we'd be opening up the spout, Lord, and asking you to fill us. Thank you for your promise, Lord, that if we're thirsty, we could come to you and you would fill us. So, Lord, right now I pray that rivers of living water would flow from our innermost being. In Jesus' name. Amen. I encourage you to continue to stand up here and continue to pray, and we're going to worship together. We're also going to witness a baptism. Continue to seek after him. Continue to press in. This is just an experience. It needs to be more than an experience. It needs to be a lifestyle every day.